Good morning. Thank you, Bev. It's my privilege to be with you this morning and to build on the foundation of Justin and Doug and Ken as they have spoken about the Holy Spirit. Justin, I know you don't realize, but you started the Holy Spirit series the week before it actually started here. And you'll hear about that today. In 1953, Ira Stanfield penned these words: "If just a cup of water I place within your hands, then just a cup of water is all that I demand." These were the words that Ira Stanfield heard the Lord say to him as he poured his heart out in loneliness about the burden he bore, about the fact that he had worked so hard for Jesus, that he had sacrificed for Jesus. "If just a cup of water I place within your hands, then just a cup of water is all that I demand." A couple of weeks ago, Brian was working in our front drive garage, and I was in the family room, just enjoying the beautiful sunshine and warmth through the patio, when I heard, "Oh God, honey, please call an ambulance." And it was coming from our neighbor's house. I went out onto the patio, but it was like I knew this is not the time to call across the fence. Instinctively, I turned to prayer, "Father, I don't know what's happening, but give me wisdom. What am I supposed to be doing?" 5 minutes later, an ambulance arrived at the front of our house. The attendants carried my neighbor and my friend out in a canvas carrier and placed her on the stretcher. Her moans and whimpers of pain were gut-wrenching for me to hear. At one point, she turned and saw me, and I just placed my hand on my heart, and I blew her a kiss. As they carried her to the ambulance, her husband came out of the front door, and he was so distressed. Internally, my heart was crying, "Oh Lord, what can I do? What can I do?" And then into my mind came the image of a water bottle. Well, after saying goodbye to the ambulance, her husband and son went and sat on the dry, dusty grass across the street. "Oh, I get it, Lord. Take them a water bottle." Oh, Ruth. Such a paltry way of helping. Really? You think that's going to be helpful? "If just a cup of water I place within your hands, then just a cup of water is all that I demand." These words came back to me. No fresh muffins, no flowers, no three-course meal that would certainly have made me feel a lot better in helping my neighbors. No, just being there and being obedient to what God said to me in that moment. I ran into the garage and grabbed two water bottles, ran across the street, handed them to my friend's husband and son, and her son took the lid off and guzzled it down and just looked me in the eye and said, "Thank you, Ruth." Her husband took the water bottle and he goes, "Geez, thanks, Ruth." Both began to open up. They started to talk about what had just happened, about their fears, COVID. They didn't know when they were going to hear from their wife, their mom, again. They didn't know who was going to contact them. They couldn't go to the hospital. I didn't offer any advice or platitudes, and I don't know about you, but sometimes platitudes make me feel a little bit more comfortable in the moment. I just stood with them as they talked. A bottle of water seemed so paltry, so small, so little, and yet it was what God asked me to offer in that moment. And what the Holy Spirit did with it was up to Him. This simple little story is part of a 30-year journey with our neighborhood and with these neighbors that began with a chocolate bar at Christmas, one Christmas back in the 1990s. It's also a story of how God usually works in my life. It's how he shows me something is happening and invites me in. Now, I will tell you that I'm not an ambulance chaser, because just this last week, another ambulance pulled up in front of our house for another neighbor. And as I went out, because I saw the ambulance, I said, God, what do you want? Pray. What do you want me to do? Pray. That was it. That was all I was to do. No bottle of water. Well, John 14 talks about the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, and it is the basis for this message today. Over this last month, as I've listened to this series on the Holy Spirit, and as I've just lingered in this passage of John 14, four words kept coming to me over and over again. All of them are represented in one way or another in John 14. I want you to watch for these concepts about the Holy Spirit, because all four words are about my part in responding to the Holy Spirit. Linger. Linger in God's presence. His Holy Spirit is in us. Listen. Listen for what he wants to say to you. He's our teacher, our guide. Learn. Seek to understand what he is asking of you. He reveals truth to us. Love. Show your love for Jesus by obeying him when he asks. Three times that one is in John 14. If you love me, you'll obey me. There's a scriptural context for what I want to share to you with you today of just a journey with the Holy Spirit. Long ago as a child, the Holy Spirit convicted me. That is, he showed me things that my thoughts and my attitudes and my actions that were dishonoring to Jesus. It's kind of like a game of ping pong with the Holy Spirit. So he shows me something and then I get to respond. And my part was to just say, oh, Jesus, forgive me. And you know what? He did. And my little heart was free. It still happens today. The Holy Spirit at the same time invited me into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And as a six-year-old, all I knew is I wanted Jesus for the best friend of my life. So my part? I said, please come and be my best friend, Jesus. I believe in you. And he did. When I invited Jesus to be a part of my life, the Holy Spirit came to dwell within me and walk with me through life. My part, daily I have the choice to pay attention to him, to linger in his presence, to listen to his voice, to learn what he's saying to me, and then to say, Jesus, I love you, and be obedient. The Holy Spirit became my counselor, my leader, my guide, my advocate. In this passage, the paraclete. He's like a defense attorney. He's the one who reminds me and teaches me. He prompts me to do what is honoring and pleasing to God. He makes the word of God come alive in my mind, in my heart, and my spirit. He shows me who I am to be and what I am to do. My part? Linger in his presence. Listen to his voice. Learn to understand what he's saying and to say, Jesus, I love you. Yes, I'll do it. His revelation of truth holds an invitation and an opportunity to join God in his work. And my part is to express my love by obeying. The Holy Spirit gives me gifts to serve in ways that edifies others and glorifies Jesus. And my part is to build relationships with others by my service, not because it makes me look good or it's on a checklist, but because it meets a need that the Holy Spirit is calling and inviting me into. The Holy Spirit produces fruit in me as I learn to yield to his working in my life. And my spiritual maturity continues to increase as I become more loving, joyful, kind, peaceful, gentle, patient, self-controlled. I often ask myself from Galatians 5, where these fruit of the Spirit is found, so Ruth, are you more loving in this situation today than you were last week? Are you kinder than you were last year? And we all have similar situations in our life, and the fruit of the Spirit is the evidence of our willingness to grow and be more like Jesus. Well, from these scriptural principles, I'm called to believe, to listen, to pay attention, and to be willing to show Jesus how much I love him by living in obedience, even when it makes no sense. A water bottle? I want to tell you a little bit of the story of my life, where I learned who the Holy Spirit was, and he came alive in my life. I was raised in a wonderful home where the love of Jesus was lived out daily by my parents. They lived Jesus' love in works of service within our community, our family, our church, and they spoke of Jesus as they were led. I don't remember them teaching me how God worked, but I saw it and experienced it consistently. Well, in 1972, long before some of you were born, Brian and I participated in a series of revival meetings that were in Calgary, led by the Cetera twins. And as we participated in those meetings, I came to understand the work of the Holy Spirit in ways I had never understood. I was so in awe that God wanted to be so personally involved in everything of my daily life. Awe that I had actually already experienced the Holy Spirit at work in and through me, even though I didn't know it. I hadn't been taught about it. Awe that as I chose to yield my life to God, to ask him to be at the center of everything I did, he came in like a flood and filled me with his love, his joy, his peace, his goodness, his kindness, his faithfulness, his patience, his self-control. I found myself experiencing a deeper joy in certain areas of service as I grew, and I knew it was all beyond me. I also came to understand that it meant an ongoing change in my thoughts, my behaviors, and my attitudes. And as I lived out this fresh knowledge, I wanted to phone home and tell my mom all about it. Excitedly, I told her what God was teaching me, where I was at in my Jesus journey. We talked about it, and she said, "Honey, I have an amazing story to tell you." My mom was an avid reader, an avid learner. She was always growing. And this particular day, she told me about how in her little living room at home, sitting in her favorite chair, reading scripture, she read, and Justin, she read Luke 11. Luke 11, the story of the teaching on prayer, which was what preceded this series on the Holy Spirit. But the two verses that particularly captured her were these. "You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if you ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Those verses came alive. The Holy Spirit brought them alive to Mom. And she believed him for what he said, and she embraced them. The wonder of the Holy Spirit overwhelmed me as she talked. The same day that I was learning about the Holy Spirit, sitting in a seat in a public auditorium with two men yielded to the Holy Spirit teaching, Mom was sitting in her favorite chair in her living room at home. And the Holy Spirit gave her the same message. I was so amazed that the Holy Spirit was at work at me, in me, and in Mom at the same time in different ways and miles apart. But our teacher was the same, the Holy Spirit. Prior to that, what I knew of the Holy Spirit was pretty dry and bookish. I even failed systematic theology 3, which was on the Holy Spirit, because it was so dry. I had to retake it. And the second year, I took it from a new teacher who understood the work of the Holy Spirit, and it was like a whole new curriculum had been written. It hadn't, but the Holy Spirit was there. Well, there is a framework that God works within as he woos and calls each of us, no matter how unique we are. God does have a way of speaking into my heart that allows me to know and confirm that what I'm hearing is indeed the voice of the Lord. I want you to know this morning, though, that your stories of the Holy Spirit may not, will not look like mine. The framework you'll represent, you'll recognize as being similar, but how the Spirit works in your life may be different. So here's the framework. My role, your role, is to receive the love of Jesus, to pay attention to the prompts he gives by his Holy Spirit, to know that they are his prompts because he affirms it through his word. He affirms it through the conversations I have with him. He affirms it through people in my life, people who know Jesus and even people who do not know Jesus. His Holy Spirit works through all of those. I want to pause for a moment and just speak to the kids. As I was putting this together, I thought, I asked Jesus into my heart when I was a child and the Holy Spirit came in, but I didn't know about that. So you have received from Nora this week a little handout about the Holy Spirit. And in that handout, you're encouraged to think about the fruit of God's Spirit like a cluster of grapes. Why grapes? Well, for fruit to happen, that cluster of grapes has to be connected to the vine. And God gave a wonderful story in John 15 about the vine providing life for us. I encourage you to read it as a family and to talk about it, what you understand and what you don't understand. Secondly, the fruit of the Spirit is not plural. It is singular. And so to think of the fruit of God's Spirit, love, joy, peace, all of those things, as a singular grape within a cluster attached to the vine that is growing. And I want to say to kids, I want to say it to me and to all of us, when you sense the promptings of doing something that is loving or kind or peaceful or gentle or faithful or good or actually practicing self-control or patience, that's the Holy Spirit talking to you, telling you, choose this. Those are the times you're hearing from the Holy Spirit. The third thing is communion. We celebrate communion, and what we're given as a representation is wine, to represent the blood of Jesus. The absolute sacrifice that he made so that we could walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. I encourage you this week, families, to take that and walk through it. Well, sometimes the prompts we receive are like a long obedience in the same direction. The Holy Spirit plants an idea, it bubbles around, he affirms it through scripture, he affirms it through prayer, he affirms it through other people, and all of a sudden, oh, I get it, Lord. I know what you're saying. And sometimes the Holy Spirit prompts in the moment, like our neighbor, or like the time I was in Starbucks with with my prayer team leader, and we were just catching up with each other, and 6 policemen walked in. And they got their drinks and put a couple of tables together and sat down. And Carol and I were visiting. And I sensed, go thank them for what they do. Yeah, whatever, I'm visiting with Carol. Go thank them for what they do. That came into my mind, I don't know how many times. And finally, I looked at my friend and I said, I sense the Holy Spirit's telling me to go and thank those gentlemen for what they do. She said, well, go. So I walked over to the table and I just looked at them and I said, guys, I just wanted to say to you, I live in the Northeast. Thank you for showing up to work every day. Thank you for protecting my community, for protecting me and my family. And it had just been a season where there had been 3 murders in the Northeast. It had been a horrible time. I said, I just want to say thank you. And the gentleman on my right, he turned and he looked at me and his eyes were misty. And he said, no, thank you. No. And he said, people don't do this for us. I said, well, all I know is I just wanted to say thank you. And I went back to my table. It didn't feel like it made a lot of sense when the Holy Spirit asked me to go approach 6 policemen and say thank you. Another time I was hosting an evening, and what I want you to see in these stories is the Holy Spirit at work. I was hosting an evening for newcomers, and as we were closing the evening, Susan came through the door, and she shook my hand and said, thank you so much for this evening. I'm leaving for South America for 3 months, and when I get back, I would love to get together with you. And I said, call me anytime. And she said, I just want you to know before I leave, I almost crossed the line. And she was gone. I went home, and I just, oh Lord, did I just miss an opportunity to be obedient? And you know what? It was like the Lord said to me, just chill. I've got this. Okay. The next morning, the phone rang, and it was a day that was packed from beginning to end. It was Susan. And she said, you know I'm leaving tomorrow. And I said, yes. And she said, can I come talk to you today? And in my head, I'm scrambling because all I had was 45 minutes at lunch. The rest of the day was full, and it was like 45 minutes at lunch. Selfish Ruth, I need 45 minutes. It's a full day. Listening to God, Ruth, say yes. And so I said, I have 45 minutes at noon. Do you want to come? And she said, yes. So as she came, we were walking across the foyer, and she said to me, I just want you to know I am not a sinner. Okay. God has given me this little way of sharing the gospel with people. And I just take my Bible and I have verses marked. And I usually ask the person if they'll read scripture to me. And so I'm scrambling in my head because the first verse is, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, God, how are you going to work through this one? And so as I went and we sat in the chapel, I said to her, do you mind, would you read some scripture? I'll show you which scripture. Would you mind reading it to me? And she said, oh, I'd love to. And so I opened my Bible, but I opened it to John 3:16, and that's where we started that day. And as she read, her voice was powerful, and she just was confident and loud. And as she came to the end of the verses, her voice softened and softened and softened. The tears poured down her face. And she turned to me and she said, Ruth, I am a sinner. I want Jesus. Oh, the Holy Spirit at work. It wasn't about me at all. It was the Holy Spirit was wooing her and loving her and drawing her to himself. I had the privilege of introducing her to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And when she came home from South America, I had the privilege of walking with her in the basics of the gospel for over a year. Well, as we close today, I want to share a little story that transformed my life. In 1954, Robert Boyd Munker wrote a little book called My Heart, Christ's Home. Now, this one is a much newer one. And in 1955, I won a copy of this little book. And as a child, I still have it. I just don't know where it is. But as a child, it was thumbed and read and read. In this little volume, Munger paints a picture of how our heart resembles a home with many different rooms. And then he piques our imagination as he talks about inviting Christ into our hearts and taking Jesus as a walk through the kitchen, the living room, the dining room, the bedroom, the rec room, the work room, the hall closet where the skeletons are hidden. Well, I was raised in a home where I was taught to fall in love with Jesus. When I left home, I was introduced to legalistic Jesus. I was unfamiliar with him. I heard things like, if I was a good little Christian, I would go to church every single Sunday morning. I would read my Bible every single morning. And in fact, when I was pastoring, I was handed a brochure that said that men needed to read 32 chapters of Scripture a week to remain faithful to Christ. I kind of shook my head. The intent was so good, but the letter of the law kills. It did not resonate with me. Legalistic Jesus tried to convince me to make a list of the rules and keep them. All I knew was I wanted to fall deeper in love with him and to live my life with him. Well, it was about this time that I rediscovered this little book in a box of keepsakes. And I took it out and I sat down and I read it. I want to tell you the story about one particular room, the living room. As Jesus and I were walking through my heart's home, we came to the living room, and I let him go in first, and I followed him, and he just said, "Oh, this is a lovely room. This would be such a wonderful place to sit and talk together." And you know, it had a fireplace at one end and a couple of cozy chairs. And as a new believer in Jesus, it was like, he wants to spend time with me. I'm going to be here. And so day after day, I'd come down the stairs and I would sit with him and we would talk. We'd talk about my day. He would talk about Scripture with me. I felt myself being challenged and growing. And then life just got high pressure. I don't know how many days, but I missed meeting with him. And one day I was coming down the stairs and I looked and he was sitting in the chair by the fireplace. Oh, my heart was smitten. I walked into the room cautiously and I said, "Oh, Master, have you been here every day?" "Yes," he said. "I thought we agreed we were going to meet here and have conversations and get to know each other." "Oh, we did, Lord. We did. I am so sorry. Please forgive me." And he did. He forgave me. And then he said to me, "Ruth, you know, I think you think this time is all about you keeping a checklist. Yes, I met with Jesus today." He said, "I don't think you understand how deeply, deeply I love you. The price I paid to redeem you. And when you look in my face, it warms my heart." Oh, what a different picture of time with Jesus. A time to sit in his love, to enjoy his presence. You know, he wants so much more than a checklist approach to life. He longs for us to spend time with him, to tell him what troubles our hearts, what makes us laugh out loud, what fills us with so much joy it just spills out on others, and what makes our heart ache so deep we just want to throw up. He wants to introduce us to the Holy Spirit in all his beauty, wisdom, and power, so we can face each day with wisdom, gifts, and fruit so beyond ourselves that others see the Jesus in us and want him. We become living invitations to a personal relationship with Jesus, and sometimes we use words. Jesus said, "I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So do not be troubled and afraid." I don't know what the Holy Spirit is quickening in your heart this morning. I do know how deeply Jesus loves you, how he wants an ever-deepening relationship with you. You know, each time as I sat down to prepare this message, a couple of phrases came into my mind. And I thought, that sounds like an old hymn. And so I Googled it. And yes, it was an old hymn. I invite you this morning to ponder the words of this old hymn and make them your prayer today. Speak, Lord, in the stillness, while I wait on you. Hush my heart to listen in expectancy. Speak, O blessed Master, in this quiet hour. Let me see your face, Lord. Feel your touch of power. For the words you speak, they are life indeed, living bread from heaven. Now my spirit feed. All to you is yielded. I am not my own. Blissful, glad surrender, I am yours alone. Fill me with the knowledge of your glorious will, all your own good pleasure in your child fulfill. Like a watered garden full of fragrance rare, lingering in your presence, Lord, let my life appear. Jesus said, "I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give you. So do not be troubled or afraid." Will you pray with me? Father, our heart's desire is to just linger in your presence, to know that you are speaking to us. Father, give us the ability to listen to your voice, to recognize it. Father, help us to learn more about you, who you are, and what you are asking of us. And oh Jesus, give us hearts to love you by saying yes, Lord, in obedience to you. So be it, Lord. Amen. May you go this week in the wisdom, strength, courage, and love of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May your minds be filled with the knowledge of God's will. And may your hearts be filled with the fruit of God's Holy Spirit. Go and be the hands and feet of Jesus. Amen. Have a wonderful week.